be live as we minister the gospel. We're in 1 Peter. This is a series, so this is just part two. I probably won't be able to keep up with all the parts as we walk through it, but today we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 12. 1 Peter as a whole is a book about hope. It really is about hope. And church, we need the hope that Peter is talking about because the world out there is living without hope. They are longing for hope. And it's easy to be hopeless in this world when you only focus on the news of what's happening in the world. Our world's debt is out of control. Not just our nation, but the whole world is out of control. There are many without jobs. Businesses are closing. There's an increase of violence in our own nation that we've not seen like this in many, many years. In our text this morning, Peter is urging the church to look away from those things that feed despair or depression. Instead, focus on what inspires hope. In fact, Peter calls us to examine the priceless inheritance that we've been given by God. Now, commentaries tell us that in the original Greek, verse 3 through 12, and that's why I'm using it all together, constitutes one very long sentence. It's one long sentence. It's kind of an explosion of praise that happens from Peter, but it has some instruction in it as well. One commentator, Edmund Hibbert, says this about the passage. This beautiful passage is the outpouring of an adorning heart. Only one who has devoutly contemplated the greatness of our salvation could utter such magnificent praise. One that prepares and encourages the suffering soul to steadfastly continue the spiritual battle. Today, we're going to read these heartfelt words of Peter, knowing that he has been redeemed and he knows it's all because of what Jesus did for him. Three major thoughts that I'm going to look at in this passage. One is the inheritance, verses 3 through 5, the response, verse 6 through 9, and the privilege, verse 10 through 12. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. Peter says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Speak to our hearts today. Lord, build deep within us that hope that we need. Amen. Peter wants to tell us several things, I guess, really about the inheritance that we have. First of all, I want you to notice he says this, it requires a new beginning. Verse 3, Peter says, it's by His great mercy that we have been born again. Church, we have been given new birth through God's mercy and His Spirit. In John chapter 3, if you remember, Jesus is talking to the religious leader Nicodemus. And he says, in order to really know God, you have to be born again. John 3, 6 and 7, here it is. Humans, he says, can reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Now, at first, Nicodemus is confused by this, but Jesus explains that even though we cannot have a new beginning physically, He says we can have a new beginning spiritually. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, this can happen not through our own efforts. It can't happen that way, but God's Spirit can do this in us. In fact, Paul the Apostle writes in Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, it's not us, but because of his mercy. Listen to what he did. He washed away our sins. That's a shouting point right there. He washed away, giving us what? A new birth and a new life. Church, you have a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, he generously, not proportioned or generously, poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight. And what happens? It gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life, a priceless inheritance. The problem with most of us is that many times people hear this as a religious thing. Well, you got to go to church and you got to do. They turn it all into the things instead of the life. And they miss the spiritual impact of what's really being said. How many would not like a new beginning? We all wanted a new. In fact, some of you say, I wish I could start all this whole thing all over again. But here's the beauty. You can have a new life today. How many would like to have the record of your past of failures expunged from your record? You know what? God does for you. You go on, I want it practically done. He says it's spiritually done because you're not staying here on earth. This is what we're given through the Holy Spirit. It came through the work of Jesus on the cross. The blood of Christ was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It gives us that new opportunity for direction in our life. We're given a chance to have a deep relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's part of your inheritance. Now he says, well, by the way, this results in a living hope. In fact, listen to verse 3 again, the New International Version says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Church, our hope is living. It is real. And listen, it's called a living hope because it's imperishable. It continues. Our hope is not based on wishful thinking, but based on the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus and the character of God that he has shown all throughout his word and throughout our lives. This hope reminds us that, listen, God knows what's going on. Do you really think God's not in control? Then you've lost hope. My hope is that he knows exactly what he's doing. I can imagine Israel after 400 years of slavery in Egypt started thinking, does God know what he's doing? God knew exactly what he was doing. And this little baby is born. And think about what the enemy tried to do and wipe out all the children two and under. But Moses remained. God knows what he's doing. And we've got to have that kind of hope again. Our hope reminds us that there's more to life than what we can taste and see here. Our hope reminds us that all the wrongs will be made right. It affirms that when believers die, we become more alive than ever. Remember, this hope is not about our ability or our experience or our education or our performance. Our hope is anchored to Christ and Christ alone. Peter wants us to understand the only thing you can be sure of in this life is that you can have living hope. Now, all of us understand life can change in a moment. Everything can be consumed in a natural disaster. Just a family in our church just lost his brother, the compost. The entire nuclear family of his brother, the dad, the mom, and their son in a plane crash, and they're gone. It can happen that fast. Some of you know you've had doctor's appointments and it can change all your plans, you know? And all it's going to really take in this world is a financial meltdown and your money will be worthless. Where's your hope? Church, the only thing certain that we know in this life is that we can have a relationship with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit at work in us. That's what we ought to be living for. That's why Peter speaks of the guarantee of the inheritance, this priceless inheritance that is for us. In fact, in this passage, Peter does not really describe the inheritance, and that's because what our inheritance actually is something really too great for Peter to describe. But in verse 4, he gives it his best attempt and says, we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Peter says, it's kept in heaven. Church, do you already understand it's in existence now? It's not, you know, I know he's preparing a place in the sense of for you, but it's in existence. And it's being carefully guarded for us. It's ours because nobody can take it from us. It says it won't perish, it won't spoil, it won't fade. Listen, what is an inheritance? An inheritance is something we are given graciously by another. But let me talk about it for a moment. It's a gift. It's something we do not earn. In this life, I don't know if any of you have ever been given an inheritance. Anybody? Good. You know what it is. You're first told, you're named maybe in somebody's will or trust, and you're going to receive this. But I want you to know something. If that person is still living, that inheritance can be impacted by what happens to that person for the rest of their life. Because when that person, of course, passes away, there's financial settlements, there's legal fees. The nature of the inheritance can be altered between the time of the promise and the actual receiving of the inheritance. But for us, church, the faithful followers of Jesus, the inheritance that's ours is something that will not diminish in value. It will not change. Is protected, it said, by God's power. Something you have to understand as a benefit for believers, it's not only for the future, it is now. Let me explain. The moment we began our relationship with God was the moment it began to be protected. Listen to verse 5. And through your faith, when did your faith begin? Here. God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Now, I believe we are saved here, but the culmination of our salvation is when we are caught away or we go to heaven, then we are really saved from this life. You understand? Church, something great is not only coming for us. Peter says it's here. God will take care of us. He's protecting us and watching over us so we can have that one day. Did you know God's leading you on a journey? Now, the problem is you say, well, I want it to be glorious without pain and struggle and disappointment. You're going to have pain, struggle, and disappointment. But what God's protection means, it will not overtake you. It will not overcome you as long as you put your trust in him. Remember what Jeremiah says in 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Do you think God has a plan? Says the Lord, the plans are for what? And not for disaster. See, we look at life, well, things are just going to blow up and it's not going to turn. You've lost your hope. God hasn't changed. He's got it prepared. You just need to stay faithful. He says it's not for disasters, to give you a future and a hope. The next verses that Peter speaks to us, we're going to listen to our response, though, to this inheritance. Peter says, if you really understand the treasure that you've been given, instead of despair and instead of hopelessness, you're going to be characterized by joy that springs from your love of what Christ has done. Listen to verse 6 and 7. So be truly glad. Everybody say that. So be truly glad. Just contemplate that for a moment. How do you be truly glad? He says, there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials, he says, will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. How many of you ever received a special gift? Anybody? Probably all of us. Christmas, I don't know if Christmas counts because I don't know how. Have you ever received a special gift from somebody that you didn't expect a gift from on Christmas, right? That's a special gift. How many of you squeal with delight? Anybody? All the guys do. How many of you cry? Some cry. How many just when they get that, they embrace the giver? It's like, oh, that was so nice and kind. I know one thing that happens whenever we receive a special gift, we all smile. It's like, wow, that was incredible thoughtfulness. It's because generosity produces joy. And it does so in both the giver and in the one who receives that gift. Church, if we could even catch a glimpse of the great inheritance, the gift, the special gift that's ours, both present now, God's protection, and the future of what we hope for, it will cause you to smile and be full of great joy. Why do we worship the Lord? Let me give you a few reasons. Do you know we have been given what we could not earn and certainly will never deserve? You know, even when we start following the Lord, it's like we have done things that he should just say, you know what, I love you, but you just can't seem to get it right. But he doesn't do that. He loves us amidst it all. We have been forgiven what we thought was unforgivable. We've been given a new start many, many times. We have an intimate relationship with God Almighty. We benefit from the power and guidance of God's Spirit. We have a certain hope of life, eternal life beyond the grave. Church, that should make you smile. And that's why Peter says, so be truly glad. Everybody say that again. So be truly glad. In fact, there's an old little chorus we used to sing. Would you lift it with me? It says, thank you, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You remember this? Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great son. So rich and free. Just thank him. Thank you for his salvation of your soul, making you whole in this life. He's given us this incredible salvation that has an inheritance that, church, we take for granted sometimes. And we just need to learn to be thankful. Peter goes on to say, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Be glad. Now, it's quite a contrast between joy and grief. or blessings and trials. Anybody agree? The reality is, though, you live in a sinful world. And we feel the effects of sin. And, by the way, you feel the effects of the sinful behavior of others. Life is filled with trials. And so throughout life, we're going to go through periods of pain. In fact, the Bible says all creation groans for the redemptive moment. Peter tells us we know hope and joy even amidst this suffering, though. It's because we need to see pain with different eyes. The purpose of pain and suffering in this world could be for a few reasons I can see from God's perspective. One is, as Peter said, it proves that our faith is genuine. By the way, it's easy to trust God when everything's going well. Or let me state it this way. It is easy to trust God when you do not have to trust God. That's where most people want to live. Just make everything good and I'll trust you, but they don't really need to. It's in the difficult moments of life where we're forced to begin to ask ourselves, will I trust God even when I cannot see Him or do not understand? That's where trust really needs to live. Trials will reveal whether we're a fickle believer or a deep believer. Job, if you remember, was shown to be faithful in the midst of incredible heartache. In Job 1:21, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, in Job 13:15, Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's genuine faith. I don't understand it, I don't get it, but I know who you are, and I know I can trust you in the long haul. Second purpose, I think trials in this world are designed to bring God glory. Throughout the Bible, we see God honored in the faithful people in their time of trial. Remember Joseph with the coat of many colors. Joseph was faithful in spite of the imprisonments and the circumstances that he went through. Abraham trusted God's promise through a long period of infertility in his wife. He was promised that a seed would come from his family, and it didn't seem like it was going to happen, but he trusted. It was accounted to him as righteousness, the Bible says. Daniel trusted God in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted him in a fiery furnace. Elijah trusted God as he stood before 400 prophets of Baal. Go read these stories and find out you can trust God. And Jesus trusted his Father when he went to the cross. Church, in the times of trial is where we learn to demonstrate God's faithfulness in our lives. And when we do that, it always brings glory to God. In ancient Rome, grain was threshed in a threshing house by a simple piece of farm equipment called a tribulum. Here's a picture of it. It would grind over the sheaves and separate the husk from the grain. It is from this primitive piece of farm machinery that actually from the Latin we get our word tribulation. Sometimes we feel like the sheaves that are being crushed. And Peter wants to remind you that no thresher ever operated his tribulum for the purpose of destroying the sheaves. The farmer just wanted to pull out the precious grain that was there. That's exactly what God does with our lives and the trials we go through. God sometimes allows us to face difficulty and hardship to increase our value in His kingdom so that scriptures can be fulfilled like you can comfort others with the same comfort you've received from the Lord. So know that when you're in a time of trial, focus less on the trial and more on the one who is working through that trial for your benefit and for his glory. Amen? Amen. Why? Because God has promised something to us. He wants to conform you into the image of his Son. How many need some conforming in your life? Yeah. So what is it going to take? It may take this tribulum to push those things that out of you and show what's inside that's faithful. Process of getting there is not always easy, but I can tell you it will be worth it. In verse 8 and 9, Peter says, you love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Church, our joy springs from our love for Jesus. Even though we've never seen him, we love him. And we do so again because he is incredible in his character and his love for us. He has given us an indescribable inheritance. He stands with us, strengthens us in every circumstance, and he never gives up on us. And because we love him, we can look for blessing amidst the pain. The hymn writer actually used these words from Peter in a hymn using the King James when it says this: it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you grew up in Pentecost or whatever, that would have been a hymn that we would have sang quite often. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. And it just lifts your spirit to go, it is, because of the hope. When we really understand what God has done for us and prepared for us, we should be filled with great joy. Three more verses. The privilege we have. The privilege we have as believers. Verse 10 says, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. The prophets only got to declare its coming. What's it going to be like? What's going to happen in their spirits? What's really going to happen in their lives? They wanted to know, verse 11, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about. And when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards, all they could tell was, this is what's going to happen. But when? When's it going to take place? There was a hunger in them. Verse 12, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. In this passage, Peter reminds that the salvation we have is a privilege. It's something that people were looking forward to for centuries. The prophets searched intently for the very thing that we can take for granted, they longed for. The prophets anticipated our day but never got to experience it. And Peter says, even the angels long to see and experience what you and I have been freely given. We've been given a great privilege, church, and do not take it for granted. We have the privilege here in America, if you know, of having the Word of God so available to us. Other countries would love to have the Word of God like we do, but they have to pass copies along in secret. Church, every day we get to enjoy God's mercy and grace freely and openly. But I want you to know that freedom could come to an end. And the question will happen then, Will we stand firm? Will we have God's word so deeply hidden in our lives that we will continue to let it guide our lives even in the trial? It may take those kind of days to really give us a proper perspective on what we call trials. Church, we're so blessed because our faith is anchored to something that is rock solid. God. Cherish your salvation. Be careful not to take it for granted. It's a privilege to know the Lord and to serve the Lord. Pastor James, today I want to leave you with two simple action points. Number one, lift your sights. Everybody say that. Lift your sights. In doing it, lift up your having to look at the screen. It changes your perspective when you lift your head. Sometimes we can get fixated on what's right in front of us. We get lost in pursuing pleasure and power and possessions. And we do it because we want peace and comfort now. However, I want you to know, if you only focus on the things in this world, you're going to be disappointed and left empty and alone. Our joy must not be anchored to the things of this world, but to the Lord who made this world. We must learn to long for the inheritance that will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. Church, once again, we have got to get our sights lifted toward heaven. We are just passing through. We need to focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Get our attention on the enduring blessing of God and the unique privilege that we have in Jesus. And the better we do this, I'll tell you, the less troubled you'll be by the potholes of life, the bumps of life, even the deep valleys of life. And all your despair can be replaced by hope if you'll lift your sights. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Secondly, step, just keep going. Lift your sights. In fact, the Bible says, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your sights, and then just keep going. It will be worth the effort. Maybe you're going through a trial right now. Maybe it's something minor. Maybe it's massive. But Peter challenges us to see the trial as an opportunity in your life. He encourages us that in tough times, just embrace God and let your faith really show that it's more alive than ever. Now, I know that the words I'm sharing today can sound like a coach on the sidelines giving you advice. But these words are not my words. These are the words of the Holy Spirit spoken through Peter to the church. Think about it. We call it Scripture. We call it the Word of God. But it isn't just for story time. It's for life living. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows that the potential that can be gained in the time of trial. And He's not only cheering for you, He is protecting you. That's why you can trust Him. Why? Because He doesn't want you to miss a priceless inheritance. Hang in there. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you have a need, we can take it to the Lord. If you've got troubles going on in your life, hang in there. Lift up your sights. God's going to carry you through. God has never forsaken you. his children. God wouldn't do that. You go, well, it's so hard. Lift up your sights. Keep going. Because on the other side of it, because I think what we forget is it came to pass. And sometimes we forget there's another side to it. There's another place that God is taking you to. And this morning, I don't know what your need is, but if you have a need, I'm not going to ask you to share it out loud or even with a neighbor today. But if there's something going on in your life that's a trial or a trouble, I want to pray for you. And I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you're walking through something that you just, I need help. I need perspective. I need God. If that's you, just stand. Just a moment. Because you just need to make that real decision that for those who are standing, I want to remind you something. You're standing. You're standing. And you're going to stand firm. And God's going to help you. You are not alone. Body, I want you to look around, because if you see these and you know these, this week, write it down if you need to. Write their name down and you pray for them. Because you're not alone. And we're the body, and we're going to lift each other up. We're going to pray that God will strengthen you and help you. I don't know if it's spiritual. I don't know if it's physical. I don't know that it's financial. But I know God can meet every one of those needs and carry you through. And you may feel like it's tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome. Heavenly Father, this morning, there are several walking through something that they need you. They need an answer, or they need the situation to go away. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, to first comfort those where they are and give them peace. A peace that passes their understanding, that will guard their heart and their mind so they can rest in you. Lord, let their hope step up as they lift their sights. Lord, as they keep going, I pray that their faith will shine so clearly. And Lord, would you show them in the midst of this struggle that you are there and you're on the other side as well. And Lord, carry them through. You said you would protect us. I pray protection over their lives for your glory and in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has a priceless inheritance for us. So carry us through. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I pray the Lord bless you this week and will strengthen you and walk with you so you can have a Jesus-filled week. You can live that life full of the grace, the peace, and the hope. See, we become believers by grace. We become followers of Jesus when we move to hope. We become reproducers when we see hope begin to light others up. And church, they need to know the grace. They need to know the hope. Amen. Amen. I pray you have a great week in the Lord. Be strengthened. Next week, we'll pick it back up in verse 13 as we continue in chapter 1, because God's just going to continue to speak to us. Because we